a prayer with me, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today, bearing our hearts and bearing our souls. Father, we look around and we see the needs of so many. We see the pains, we see the struggles. We see, Lord, the needs of so many people who are gone unmet. We come before you, Lord, many times, asking for your grace, asking for your wisdom to be shined upon us, asking for your love, asking for your guidance. Lord, at this time we ask that we accept that your grace is sufficient for us. It's hard, Lord, when we're under pressure of the worldly things to be able to accept things like that. And we pray, God, that as we continue to try to grow in our walk with you, as we continue to try to follow the teachings of your Son and the teachings of the disciples and of the apostles, all the wisdom that went before us, Lord, help us, Lord, to understand and accept that your grace is sufficient. Lord, we look before the world and we see the wars, we see the needless loss of life. Help us, Lord, to accept that your grace is sufficient. It's hard, God, when we become under pressure, when we fall into temptation. Our needs seem to supersede that of the things that we have learned. And in times like that, God, help us understand that your grace is sufficient. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, that we've been given such an amazing opportunity to gather here. We're very blessed right now to look outside and feel the warmth of the sun. We come into this amazing establishment here, and we feel safe. We're able to gather as friends, gather as family. We accept strangers, Lord, to come into here and accept them as family as well. Lord, we thank you for giving us such a place to gather, to worship you, to focus our minds on you. And regardless of that, Lord, help us to understand that your grace is sufficient. Father, we come before you failing to meet the standards that have been put before us. We desire, Lord, to be that light on the hill that people can see. And we pray, God, that we are the light that brings people to you. And God, when we fail you, and we do that quite often, we ask for forgiveness. And it is at that time, Lord, that we can see that your grace is sufficient. Father, help our minds be focused on you today and always. And just help us to always remember that regardless of what we are going through, regardless of the pain, the suffering, the happiness, the times of joy, help us understand, God, that your grace is sufficient. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Would everyone please stand with me as we sing hymn number 528. 528, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Following this song, we'll have a scripture reading and our lesson this morning.
I know I know that my Redeemer.
of invitation following the lesson this morning will be 922, 922.
The scripture reading this morning is Genesis chapter 22, verses 10 through 14. There is a children's training class out the back and to the right. Genesis 22, 10 through 14. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.
God's grace is sufficient for us. I appreciate Matt including that in his prayer this morning frequently, because we need to be reminded that even though things in this world may not be what we want them to be, we may think that we're lacking in one thing or another, yet if we trust God, we know that his grace is sufficient for us. These are difficult times for a lot of people particularly, but for the world generally. There's increased tension in the Middle East, and it's good for us to pray that God would do something to intervene and to bring about peace in that region of the world. But for whatever our needs may be, God is a God of amazing grace, and how thankful we are for that. We're so glad that we can call upon him in that way and worship him. And that's why we're gathered together this morning, to worship God, to say, "Lord, thank you so much for all you do for us. And may we always be drawn closer and closer to you." We, of course, have been saddened again this past week by the passing of one of our members, Ray Marklin. Not something that we expected. And on Tuesday, there will be a service here at the building at 3 o'clock to remember his life. And I hope if you're able, you'll come out and join us. But whatever you can do to help comfort Betty. Betty is hopeful to be back with us in worship next week. But for now, keep her in your prayers. There will also be a graveside service on Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the VA Cemetery. But do keep them in your prayers, Betty and all of the family and friends. But it's good to see you with us today. We have a good number. We are seeing increased numbers, and we're glad for that. Got a lot of visitors with us today. I've met several, some that I've met before, others I'd not met before today, and we're really glad that you've come out to join us. And if you don't have to run away, quickly, give us a chance to get to know you, and if we can help in any way, we want to do that, but please come back and join us anytime that you're able. And all of you that are regulars, we're glad you're here as well. Always glad. We don't take that for granted. And so good to see you. And all of you online, whether you're watching or listening, we're very thankful that you are with us. And we just do appreciate it. I think I need to give a shout out, too, to people that are kind of behind the scenes. We started out with a little difficulty this morning with the screens. But our people in the audiovisual booth back there do an amazing job. And we want to thank them for the work that they do in providing the sound and the visuals. And also those that are on security. You don't see that much, but they are trained. They've been very well trained. And they are on the lookout, just making sure that nothing bad comes upon us. And so we're very thankful for them as well. But we all work together. We are all part of God's family. We all can do one thing or another. And thank you to all of you who are serving in the kingdom of God. But we're glad to be together. Now let's get into the Word of God. Oh, by the way, tonight we're going to worship outdoors. The weather is going to be great. And so bring your camp chairs, lawn chairs, blankets. If you want to stay in your car, that's up to you. But we're going to worship outside. It's going to be a wonderful evening. And this is the first time in 2024 we'll get to do it. Hopefully there'll be a few more times as we go through the year. If you've not been to one of these, come out and experience it. It's wonderful to be outdoors and to be able to sing with the birds. Don't sing the same songs, but we're singing with God's creation, and it's just a nice, nice way to worship God. So I hope you'll come out and join us for that. Now let's get our Bibles out, get into the Word of God, and we're going to find things that will help us greatly as we try to live our lives better for the Lord. Let's imagine a country boy deciding, I want to enlist in the army. In fact, I think I remember an episode on Gomer Pyle, where Gomer's cousin, Goober, decides he's going to get into the army, and he just shows up. He sneaks on base somehow, and he has a suitcase with him, and I don't remember if he had a homemade uniform or his hunting rifle, but imagine, you know, somebody does that. Well, I'm going to join the army, and I thought I better bring me a uniform and a rifle. Well, they'll find out pretty quickly. All of those things are provided. Government issue, that takes care of those who are working for the government in that capacity. But sometimes we as Christians wonder, who will provide what I need? I mean, I'm a Christian, I understand that, but there's some things I really need, or I think I need them. Is there anybody there that will provide what I need? Well, as you heard this morning, Andrew read from Genesis chapter 22, probably a very familiar passage for most of us, and yet it's so powerful. There is so much in this passage, and the main idea I want us to get at in this lesson is the Lord will provide. That's what it says. It happened then. It will happen as long as God has people. The Lord will provide. It's one of the most comforting and reassuring doctrines we can teach from God's word. So let's learn together again from it. And again, I hope you've got your Bible open and that you're going to follow along with me. Let's look together in the Word of God. Now, first of all, let's talk about how God has proven that he will provide. This is something God has proven on various occasions. But let's go back to Genesis 22 and look at that account again, not in great detail, but a little more than just reading the few verses that we heard. But of course, Abraham has already accepted God's call to follow him. He doesn't know where the Lord will take him. He just knows, I'm going to follow God. And Abraham has been blessed in many ways, and now he has his son Isaac. He waited for him, and he waited for him, and finally, when Abraham is 100 years old, his son Isaac is finally born. And can you imagine the joy that he feels with this son and the pride he takes in him? And then we come to Genesis 22, and look with me now in verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how stunned Abraham must have felt? Now, the text doesn't give us many details about how he responded. It seems to say he didn't say anything. He just did what the Lord said. And you read on into the next verse, it said he got up early the next morning, and here we go. We're going to do what the Lord tells us, but this is my son. You said it, Lord. Take your son, your only son. Now, Ishmael was his son by another woman. That's not the son of promise. And God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac. and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. I just can't imagine the kind of faith Abraham had, because he did exactly what the Lord said, even though this is the son he waited decades for, and now I have to give him up. And so off they go. Go down to verses 6 to 8 of Genesis 22, and let's read more about this incident. Beginning in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they both of them went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" I would have had to choke back the tears if I had been asked that, and maybe Abraham did as well. I mean, we've got everything for a burnt offering, but Lord, but Father, where's the lamb? And Abraham, by faith, said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they both went of them together. They both went together. And again, that just amazes me that Abraham could do that. And what was he thinking? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told that he figured that God could raise his son back from the dead if necessary, but he also recognized this may be it. God has already given me the lamb. It's you, my son. He doesn't say that to Isaac. But that's so great a demand to ask of Abraham. But again, Abraham by faith did just what God said. And so he begins to lay the altar. He ties his son as he would any offering. And he's about ready to slay his son. Let's begin now in verses 10 through 14 of Genesis chapter 22. Verses 10 through 14. When Abraham reached out his hand, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." If you're looking at the King James Version, you'll see that it says there, "Jehovah Jireh," instead of "The Lord will provide." That's literally what those words mean. Jehovah Jireh means "The Lord will provide." And how true was that on that day? Here, he's about to give up his son, his only son, Isaac. And yet God stops him at the last moment. He knows in his heart Abraham has already offered his son as a sacrifice. And God doesn't want a human sacrifice, not in that way. And he says, "Stop, because now I know that you fear me." And the Lord provided the ram in substitute of Isaac as an offering. And so in a moment when Abraham's heart was racing, when his mind was just confused in so many ways, God provided. He did what needed to be done, and he gave his son back to him. There's another incident I want you to look at that shows again the Lord provides, and that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and here we have an answer that is given to David and Israel. In 1 Chronicles 21, David makes a terrible mistake. He orders a census to be taken of the nation of Israel. Now, we're not told all the details of why that was such a sin in God's sight. We suspect it was leaning on his strength rather than on God's strength. But whatever be the case, God was very offended by it. Joab, his commander, tried to get him not to do it, but he did it. And so now he's paying the price. The angel of the Lord has come and is slaying men of Israel. 70,000 have already died. And David cries out to the Lord, "Lord, please It was me that did this. Let me be taken, not all of these. And so we read in 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 18. Now the angel of the Lord had commanded Gad, Gad is a prophet of God, the angel of the Lord had commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now he doesn't give any more than that. Just go and raise an altar, build an altar there on this site. And David goes, he buys the site from Ornan. Ornan offers to give it to him free of charge. You're the king. And David says, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. And so he builds the altar, and now everything is ready, but there's still something missing. And let's look at verses 26 and 27 and see again how the Lord provides. Verses 26 and 27. David built there an altar to the Lord, presented burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called on the Lord. And look at what happens. The Lord answered him with fire from heaven upon the altar of burnt offering. Then the Lord commanded the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath. God even provided the fire. He provided the answer. This is how we're going to stop the slaughter of the Israelite men. And David does it. He wouldn't have known to do that had God not told him. And now we've got the altar, we've got the offerings. But Lord, I need fire. And God even provides that. And then what it was all about, he provides the sword to be put back into its sheath. So again, you see, God has provided. And then if you'll go down just a little further in the text to chapter 22 and verse 1, there's one more thing that is provided by God. David catches on. Then David said, here shall be the house of the Lord God, and here the altar of burnt offering for Israel. David already knew, I'm going to build a house, or I'm going to prepare to build a house for God. He just didn't know where. And this is the perfect spot. Do you think God had a hand in that? That's pretty obvious, I think. So again, God has provided. So on two significant occasions that we've looked at, Genesis 22, 1 Chronicles 21, we're seeing that God has proven he will provide. It's not just a phrase. It is an observation based on experience. So now let's talk about the question that involves us. Does the Lord provide for you and me? I mean, we see where he provided for Abraham, for God, for David. Yes, of course, those are great men of God. They're superheroes in our minds. But what about little old me, little old you? Does God provide for Christians today? Well, God does perpetually provide. That's what we're going to see. For example, go to Job 38. Job chapter 38, we're going to look at verse 41. And here is God as he begins to respond to Job. Job has been saying all throughout this time since his trials came upon him, why doesn't God come talk to me? Why can't I ask him what he's doing to me? And then God does begin talking to Job in chapter 38. And there's so many questions that God asked him. And every time Job has to say, I don't know, Lord. You know, I don't. But look at what he says in verse 41. Job 38 and verse 41. Who provides for the raven its prey, when its young ones cry to God for help and wander about for lack of food? Now, that is a rhetorical question. The answer is not given there, but it's actually contained within the question. It's obvious. God is saying, I provide for the ravens, for the little ones of the raven. I provide so that they have food day by day. Jesus will talk more about that in Matthew chapter 6. But that's the idea. God provides for his creation. This creation continues to work because God sustains it. And that was the point that God was trying to make right there, is do you take care of them, Job? Do you understand how that works? I've got it all set in place. I know what I'm doing. Or look at another passage, which is more about people now. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul is giving instructions to Timothy about how to charge certain people, and here it's about those that are rich in this world. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now, why am I saying this to you? Are you rich? Absolutely. Every one of us are rich. We live in a country of prosperity. We live in a country that is relatively free from warfare and violence. We are well provided for. And where does that come from? It comes from God. God gives us richly, provides richly all the things that we want and all things to enjoy. And so again, does God provide for us? Listen to what he says. And then one more passage on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This is a different category of provision, but oh, how we need this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, talking about spiritual provision. He says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Temptations can lure us into sin. And if we stay in that sin, we are going to be separated from God forever. And so temptations is a very serious subject. He says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God will provide a way to escape every temptation that comes my way or your way. And I need that because sometimes I think, well, there's no way. I just have to sin. I have no alternative. This promise says that God is faithful and he's going to be sure to provide us a way to escape. I may not be looking for it. I may not really want to escape that temptation. But if I do, God will provide some way, somehow, at some time, God will provide a way to escape that temptation. And so those passages, those three that we've just noted, say, yeah, God perpetually provides for us. But I want to show you the greatest provision of all. The greatest provision of all. And to see that, I want us to go back to 2 Chronicles. We weren't there, but we were in 1 Chronicles. But let's go to 2 Chronicles now, chapter 3 and verse 1. And here is a statement that might set some bells off in your mind if you're still thinking about Genesis 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, Solomon is the king now, and the time has come. I'm going to build the temple of God. David wanted to. God said, no, that's not for you to do. It will be for your son. And so Solomon now is ready to build the temple. And listen to what we read here in 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. He built the temple, the house of the Lord, in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to David, his father, at the place that David had appointed on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Does that name Moriah ring a bell? That's what we read in Genesis 22. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, to the land of Moriah and offer him on a mountain that I will show you there. Now, it is not 100% certain. We're talking about the exact same location. But from the wording in Genesis 22 at the end of that chapter, I feel very confident we are. The place where Abraham was ready to offer his only son is where this temple is going to be built. Well, what's that got to do with us? Well, let's look. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, and look at verses 38 and 39. We are in Jerusalem in this passage. Jesus is there for the feast of Passover. It is now after the feast has ended. He has gone out to Olivet and is there in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And what is he praying? Listen to what he says in Matthew 26, 38 and 39. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Why is Jesus so sorrowful, even to death? Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Oh, we know what this is about. Jesus is about to be arrested, and that will begin the long, horrible ordeal of his trials, his persecution, his torment, and his crucifixion and death on the cross. And Jesus is saying in the prayer, Lord, if there be a way, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Will you provide for me an escape? But then he says, not my will, but yours be done. There was no escape given to Jesus. No one stayed the hand of the knife about to be plunged into the sun. In this case, he died on the cross. It was the will of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, you know this passage very well, a very beautiful statement of God's love. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He didn't die for himself. He was saying, if it be possible, let this cup pass, but I want your will to be done. And God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And on this same location, I'm convinced it is the same location where hundreds of years before, the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham from taking the life of his only son. No one stopped God. And we say to that, thank God. No one stopped God from allowing it to happen. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? But that's the only way that we could be forgiven, is by the death of the Lamb. Jesus himself, early in his ministry, John chapter 3, look at that with me for a moment. John 3, beginning in verse 14, he's in conversation with Nicodemus on this occasion, and he says this in John 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and he's talking about that incident where, you know, the people had sinned by murmuring, complaining, and God sent serpents into the camp. And they were deadly serpents, and people were dying. And yet what happened? God provided that serpent made of brass to be put on a pole, and everybody that would look on it after they'd been bitten by a serpent, they would be healed. God provided. That's what Jesus is talking about there in John chapter 3. Well, what's your point, Jesus? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's not talking about his ascension to heaven. He's talking about being lifted up on the cross. And Jesus knows it must happen. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you hear echoes of Genesis 22 in that passage? I do. God so loved that he gave his only Son. Jesus died because we had to have that offering in order to be saved from our sins. And so the question, will God provide for you and me? He already has, in the biggest way possible. He already has. And then let me add this in Philippians 4, verse 19, just to give you a little more comfort food before you have lunch. Philippians 4, verse 19, my God will supply, he will provide every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God will supply every need, maybe not every want. And he may not supply it when we think we have to have it. But rest assured, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Last week we read about a former NBA player, Nate Robinson, who must have a kidney transplant or he's going to die within a matter of days, weeks, not sure how long. But he was saying, I must have this or I can't live long. And of course we know organ transplants are fairly common now. I read just yesterday that throughout the world there's like 156,000 organ transplants that were done in 2022. Two-thirds of those were kidney transplants, so it sounds pretty good, right? But who will provide that kidney? And that, of course, is the uppermost question in Nate Robinson's mind. But our need is much greater than a kidney. I mean, you may need a kidney, I don't know that. But our greatest need is for pure, innocent blood to be shed for us, all the blood of a pure, innocent person. And in all of human history, only one was qualified to do that. Did he step forward to do it? Yes. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came for the sins of the world. You're included in that. Have you taken advantage of that gift? God provided it. You have to accept it and respond to it. And how do you respond? The same way people did in Bible times. They heard the message. Many of them believed and they said, I can't keep living this way. I've got to turn my life around and do things the way God tells me. That's called repentance. And then they understand, I've got to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And based on that, I'm ready. I'm ready to do what Jesus told me to do, what the apostles told me to do, and that is to be baptized, to be forgiven of every sin. There are some this morning, I'm confident, that need to do just that, and we want you to do just that. We'd love to help. If you need to talk about it further, we'll talk with you about it. But don't delay. God has provided. And if you have done that, and if you are a Christian, and yet you know you've gone back into sin, it's time to come home. It's time to say, Father, please forgive me. And we'll pray with you if you'd like. If you need to confess that sin publicly because others know about it, we're not here to judge. We're here to support and encourage. And if you just need the prayers of the church to be strong, whatever we can do to help you, come as we stand together and sing.
Jesus, Savior,
asking for our prayers, and I find he often speaks what I think a lot of us feel, but we just don't usually say it. So thank you for doing that for us, Seth. He says, sometimes I feel like people are judging me, making fun of me, and they're not. And I think that happens with us sometimes, maybe more than we'd like to admit. We feel like people are snickering behind our back or saying things, and yet they're not. Maybe they are, but what does it matter? We just need to focus on what's important. And he also mentioned somebody that he is concerned about. They're in a new school situation, and he's concerned about them, and I won't mention the name, but we'll pray for that individual as well. And of course, we want to pray for Betty Markland right now and others. We've had several among us who have had losses in recent weeks. We want to pray for God's blessings on all of those who are still dealing with great grief and sadness. Let's go to God in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. You are the Creator. You are the everlasting God, the only true and living God. And Father, you made us. You made us in your image. But we have spoiled that image, Father, time and again. And we come on bended knees and broken hearts. And Father, we pray, have mercy upon us. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, whom you provided as the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. May we draw closer to him today than ever before in our lives. And bless all those who are not yet in Christ, that today they will think very seriously about making that commitment and being found in your Son. Father, we thank you for Seth and for his heartfelt prayer that he might not think bad things about others, that they're thinking about things about him. And Father, may we all have that kind of simple-mindedness that we might just think, well, if they have something, they'll say it, and if not, I won't imagine it. But help us, Lord, to stay focused on your Son and not allow Satan to distract us with what people might be thinking or saying. Bless his friend that is in a situation where he's concerned about. We pray that that friend will have your guidance and protection. And Father, we pray for Betty Markland. We know this is a very difficult time for her father. She and Ray have been married for many, many years, and we pray, Father, you'll be by her side and help her. We also pray for others among us, Father, who have said goodbye to loved ones in recent days and weeks and months. It's not easy to get past that, Father. But you are the God of all comfort, and we know that you can help when no one else can. So please, Lord, be with each of these and bless them with comfort and peace and assurance that you're with them. Thank you for all your good gifts, Father. You are so good to us. May we show you by our lives how grateful we are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In just a moment, we'll be sharing the Lord's Supper together. Before we do that, let's sing together hymn number 300.
Thank you.
1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and reminding them about the Lord's Supper. But more importantly, he's reminding them or telling them, because the Corinthians had a lot of things they were doing wrong, but he's telling them how they should take the Lord's Supper, not just the physical aspects, 1, 2, 3, but in verses later on, verse 27, how they should do it. And let's read 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But then he gives him a warning. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the blood and the body of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son who came to this earth, who gave us sacrificed his body on the cross, but gave us the commands and the examples of how to live a life that we can influence others. And as we take of this bread, Heavenly Father, that we reflect upon his body and the sacrifices and the punishment and the scourgings that he went through. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we do examine our lives and take it in a way and manner that is well-pleasing to thee. And it's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we also thank thee for the blood that was shed, the blood that cleanses us when we obey his commandments. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we take this cup, that we remember the blood that was shed for us and the sacrifices and the things that he had to go through for us to have remission of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This being a convenient time, we will now offer up a prayer for the blessings and bountiful things that God has given us, and that we can turn a portion of that to him and it can be used to benefit the church. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the many blessings we have, especially, Heavenly Father, of living in this country where we're able to have our jobs and have a safety the majority of the time, and the blessings that you've given us. And pray, Heavenly Father, now as we give back to thee a small portion that you blessed us with, that we do it with an open heart and gladly, knowing that it will be used to the uplifting and the benefit of the kingdom here and worldwide. Be with those, Heavenly Father, that are giving, and pray that you bless us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray once more. Our Holy Father, we are so grateful for the provision that you have made possible for us. Father, we pray for confidence that you will always provide, but more than anything, we ask that we will always be deeply rooted in what you have already provided for us through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the lesson this morning. Father, we are also mindful of Betty. We're mindful of the Bolins and others who have lost loved ones recently, and Father, we just ask your blessings on them, that they will know you're there, that they will know your comfort and peace, and the complete hope that is found only in you. Father, we're also thankful for Seth and the fact that he has such a pure heart. And Father, we just ask that he be encouraged, not only by you, but by us as well, and that he can be confident that he is well-pleasing to you. Thank you so much, Father, for all you do for us, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We do have several announcements this morning. The elders would like to present the name of Nick Cunningham before you to serve as a deacon. He would be serving in our greeting and attendance programs and would be assisted by Billy Miller. If anyone would like to offer any comment as to how you feel about Nick serving, please do that over the next couple of weeks. And then, barring any scriptural objection, in 2 weeks, Nick will begin service as a deacon. Also, this Wednesday evening, Brian Ketchum will be with us. You may remember Brian and his wife Shannon. I believe she was in pharmacy school while they were here. And Brian is currently in Colorado in preaching school, and he's going to be here this Wednesday night. And I do know that Tim Hall's class in the auditorium and my class that meets on Wednesday night will be here for that class. I have not heard about the other adult classes, so you may want to contact your teacher to know if your class will be coming in here to hear Brian as well. But it will be good to see Brian and Shannon once again. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. We will meet outdoors this evening for worship. Bring your chairs and or blankets or worship from inside your vehicle. The weather should be great, so come out and join us. A men's retreat will be held at High Rock Bible Camp on May 10th and 11th with guest speaker Jeremy Weekly of the West End Church of Christ. A women's retreat will be held the following weekend, May 17 and 18. Please register for these events on High Rock Bible Camp's website. In addition to the retreat, Central will be having an opportunity for the spouse who is not at the retreat to bring their children to Central for those Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. for fellowship and fun. A new meal train is set up for April Looney and her family as she is recovering from a severe sprained ankle. See Arlene Kellum if you have any questions. Upcoming events here at Central include the Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will meet here at the building today from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. in the Children's Training Room. The Sign Language class will be today from 4:45 until 5:45 p.m. Washed in the Word Ladies Bible class will meet this Thursday, April 11th at 10 a.m. Please remember these. Also in prayer, Mary, who is the daughter of Kelly and Bruce Brown, is expecting a child. She was in the hospital on Saturday evening with bleeding, and our prayers have been requested. Patricia Wells, who is the sister of Wilda Rumbaugh, is scheduled to undergo a spinal tap next Tuesday as doctors are working to help her with health problems she has been having. The family and friends of Ray Markland are mourning his passing on Friday after suffering a fall that resulted in a broken hip on Monday. Please keep Betty in your prayers as she goes through this difficult time. A funeral service will be conducted at our building on Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Visitation will begin at 2 p.m. A graveside service will also be held on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at Mountain Home VA Cemetery. Brian Wallace, who was baptized last August while a patient at Select Specialty Hospital in Bristol, is in a coma at Johnston Memorial Hospital in Abingdon. So let's be praying for Brian Wallace. I'll leave you this morning with 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We're dismissed.